class tonight for Ezra, so Hashem Yisbarach. We are on Daf Chav Tes on base. 58. No.
58
is the next prayer. Did you say the next prayer? Are you sure? Oh, personal thinking. Okay, you guys are right. Okay, 54. Chav Tes on base. I saw it was a problem. Some of you hired workers. Barmalam, when he said to Lashkim Larib, he made a condition with them that they should come early in the morning and stay late at night. What that is defined as the one is going to explain. Malkum Shalgushlo Lashkim with Lo Larib, if the place is not one where the workers work under such condition of early rising and late departure, Eina Yochel Kufan, you cannot compel them to do so. Malkum Shalgulo Azun. It's a place for the customers to provide food for the workers. Yozuni must provide food to the workers. Musabi Mesika is a place where the customers provide sweets for the workers. Yusabi, they provide sweets for the workers. Hako Kaminagam, they have everything based on the custom of the country. Maizu Rabbi Yochum and Maizu, an episode after Rabbi Yochum, and Maizu, Shomalib, no, he said to his son, Tseus Cholon Apollim, go out and hire for us workers. Pasaka Yimon Mizonos. And the son, when he went out to our workers, stipulated that he would pay for their food. When he came back to his father, Amar Lo, so he said, Bini, even if you make them a luxurious meal, like that of Shlomo Melch, at the height of his powers, Lo Yotzasa Yidei Chavos Chaimoyen. Do not fulfill your obligation towards them. Shev b'nei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, they are the progeny of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So therefore, whatever their royalty. So therefore, whatever food you give them, it's not enough. So we're going to go broke on feeding the workers. And actually, as chilu b'mlocha, rather before they begin the work, that means before the deal is fully cemented in place. Save and more lamb, go and say to them, I'm not ein lochem el pasuk this provide stipulate explicitly that I only have to provide you with bread and beans, not more than that. Whoever was Rabbi Yochum and Masir should not have been so afraid. He didn't need to do this. I call kaminyan gavdinim because everything goes according to the customary, what's customary and accepted in the land. And obviously, the custom in the land was not to give. Sudash Loma Bishaito, he would just give whatever's customary, which in this case probably was the bread and the beans. Okay? Rabbi Yoshua says, Zosomeris. Now, Zosomeris is not really our Mishnah, but rather the following statement we're about to bring. Means that HaMinog Mevatel Salocha, that custom uproots Halocha. Now, on the bottom of the Marechal Sarach brings down the Rashba, custom doesn't always uproot Halocha, only in matters of which have to do with contract law. In other words, don't think that anywhere we have a custom, it can uproot halacha. Kosher mishpat specifically, right? Not an orachayim. You know, if you have somebody who has a wacky minhag, that can't cancel halacha. Though people have taken this gemara to mean that, but the Rashi makes it clear that that's not the case. Take it out of context, it's very dangerous, right? So the custom only cancels halacha in the case of a kosher mishpat issue like this, which has to do with contract law. So it says the gemara. Yeah, I'm Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami said, "Kol Amoiti." No, yeah, sit silent. I'm Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami says, "This is the source that Kol Amoiti Mechaver Love Love Iraya." And normally, in Chesed Mishpul, you say, if you want to prove something, you must bring definite proof, which means two witnesses. Chutz Mizu, except for Minog. By Minog, even follow the majority. Normally, don't follow the majority by monetary law. Rather, you follow with testimony. A rove does not work. But where the rove is one of minhag, that's telling you what the customary and prevalent practice is in the location, that type of rove, since it determines how things were initially understood by all the parties involved because of the contract law element, then we do follow the rove by dini mominus. So if most people conduct themselves by the minhag, so that's sufficient basis in order to pass an halacha thereby.
Well, if it's minhag, there's really no machlokes, because most people, this is the way it's done.
Yeah, but there'll always be idiots.
minority.
Yeah, it's always be a minority. So the Chiddush is that we don't know what you hear, but the Maidim and Mamas normally do take minorities into account, not in this effect. Not in this. Okay? Says the Gemara, B'nai Tveria, lo mashkim lo mariv. It was tradition that the people in Tveria, they didn't work so late, they didn't get up early in the morning, so and they didn't work so late. B'nai Beis Ma'on, the people of Beis Ma'on, mashkim mariv, they used to get up early and go to bed, go late. B'nai Tveria, sh'olu l'schar b'beis ma'on. They went to be hired out as workers in Beis Ma'on. Right, so workers from Tveria went up. Beis Ma'on was up in the mountains. They went up to be hired as workers in Beis Ma'on. Niskarim kib Beis Ma'on, it should be. They get hired like Beis Ma'on workers. In other words, where they're hired in Beis Ma'on, they obligate themselves to work according to the standards of Beis Ma'on, which are more stringent. And vice versa, b'nei Beis Ma'on shiodu l'schar b'Tveria, the workers of Beis Ma'on which go down to work in Tveria, niskarim, when they're hired on Tveria, they work, well, it should be again, kib Tveria, because they get to go by the minig ha-makom, which of course is more lenient about them. Aval, however, sh'olim b'Tveria, somebody goes up from Tveria, l'schar polim b'Beis Ma'on, he wants to hire workers in Beis Ma'on to bring back down to work for him in Tveria. He could say to them the following. Actually, it's a question. Can he say to them the following? Can he say to them, Kain Salakta B'machshav Tachon, did it actually rise in your thoughts? In other words, did you actually entertain the notion, the law of Ina Mashkech make our problem in Tveria? That I couldn't find workers in Tveria? I could have found workers in Tveria. You know why I came up here? And the begin the Shamin Alechem, because I heard about you guys, that two Mashkinim Arim, that you go get up early and go to sleep late, begin kind Salkinocha. That's why I came here to hire you. So that's the Shiloh. Can a guy who comes up from Tveria and hires the workers in Beis Ma'on, can he demand of them, even when they come down to Tveria, that they work for him early and late because he claims that's why he came up and hired them Beis Ma'on in the first place? Right, and then where does right? But he hired them. He came up to Beis Ma'on to hire them there specifically.
No answer.
Says Mara, Makom Shein Minug. If there is no minug at all, Yudah ben Buni Rav Armin Rav Yudah to say tonight Beisin Hu. It's a principle of Beisin Shashkomim Shapalim. Now, there are those who tend to switch the words, and they're probably right, although it's really just a question of semantics. It can be learned either way, but I'll switch them. Shatei Ashkoma Shabal Abayis. In other words, that getting up early in the morning is on the Baal Abayis, is cheshbon, meaning you don't have to get up early in the morning. But the workers don't work until after sunrise. Not from dawn, only after sunrise. However, Rava Shapalim, again, I switched the words. At nighttime, it's workers, in other words, the workers have to work beyond Shkia until Tzei Sachama. So they work from sunrise, not from dawn, till darkness, not till sunset. Okay? So at the end, the beginning of the day, it's on the Baal Bais, it's Cheshbon, meaning they don't go to work until later. At the end, it's on their Cheshbon, meaning they stay out to work until later. Okay? It says, in my time, what Pasuk alludes to, it says, Tashes Choshech, night will fall, well, darkness will fall, the lion will be night. Hakfirim, the young lion, Shagim Laterv, shout for prey. Tita Lehem, you'll go to, you give them and they collect. Tizrach HaShemesh, when the sun rises, they are safe when they go, the lions go back to their dens. Yetzi Adon Apollo, that a person goes out to work. So Tizrach HaShemesh means after the sun rises, that's when people go out to work. Now the next word, Arvis, is a typo. Everybody says it should be Arve Shabbosos. Fridays. Bein Hashkama, Bein Arom, Shabbal Bais. The Baal Bais loses on both ends, right? They come to work late. Late means sunrise, right? They come to work late, then sunrise, and they leave early, because obviously they have to leave early in order to prepare for Shabbos. Ad Eichon, how early can they leave on Erev Shabbos? Not very early. Ad Kedei L'malos L'chavis Mayim, to leave him enough time to pour himself a jug of water for Shabbos. Litzos Lodoka, and fry himself a small fish, loudly gloss in there, and light candles. So they don't get to go home that early on Friday, right? 3 o'clock or earliest. They don't get to, because that's all. Now, to work a seam, and it was only fun. Okay. Adai the Rabbi Yochum and Masa Koyde Bir and Yochum Masa Adam Shalach Kadesh Isha Mimoko Macher, an individual goes to marry a woman from another locality. Tzarech Laslis Hima, in other words, he's the one that's in our mission that you better be careful because the Jews are nobility. So according to him, you have to make a condition. The Loyma, let's say, Amanasha Ta'ati came again. He has to stipulate explicitly, in other words, the Minig Amokom, according to Rabbi Yochum Masa, does not determine rather what should be a customary for this type of person is nobility. So he has to make a condition with this woman and say, I'm not the top that you came again. I'm marrying on the condition that you do work according to the standards of this country, that totally came again, and you eat according to the standards of this country as well. Okay? You have to make the explicit in the marriage. Okay? New topic. Well, actually not a new topic, but the new tangent. Halach is a laborer can work, can eat while he's working. Okay, if whatever he's producing, he can eat from that, right? So, Halach Limitar, who does the Torah allow to eat? Halosim Mechubal Karak, somebody who's working on produce which is still connected to the ground. Mashat Kamar Malach, as long as it's at the time of harvesting. Okay, well, as it's harvesting, you can eat. With a total shmina karka, and someone who's raised seven from the ground, actually nigmar malachto, he can eat from it before it becomes completely suitable for miser. Okay, matir gmar malacha means before it's suitable for miser. Once suitable for miser, obviously you're not allowed to snack from it anymore, right? It's also only by things which grow from the ground. These are the people who do not eat. Also, mechubal karka, somebody who works on produce on the ground, b'shash ena gemar malacha, at a time when it's not yet fully complete, right? It's not as yet fully ripened to be harvested. Or b'talosh mina karka, somebody who's working that which is severed from the ground, me'acha shigemar malachto, after it's already suitable to be meiser. Or b'davish ena gemar malacha, somebody's working on stuff which is not doesn't grow from the ground. Let's say he was working with his hands. Avalobraglova, not with his feet. Baraglova with his feet, with legs. Avalobiadova, not with his arms. Avilo aksefo, even if he's just doing work with his shoulders, you know, carrying something, he's a porter. Harezi yocha, according to Anakama, he can eat. Rabbi Yisrael Omer, no, it has, yes, but just like an ox. Because the pasuk is linked to lo sachsom shorbedisho, to not muzzling ox. So there he's got to be doing biyodav uragvav, just like an ox works with all four appendages. So to the individuals work with his hands and feet. I'm Rabbi Lo. Rabbi Lo says b'chitava b'chitava kamrechov b'gomer. It has a relevant pasuk when you come into your friend's vineyard, you can eat. It says you can eat the grapes and whatever's growing there. You can eat the grapes. Do you think it's going to eat the stones and sticks? Obviously not. Why does it say you can eat grapes? It means that he has to eat them. He can't peel the figs. Suck the grapes. Like you know, very dainty people do. They don't eat the grapes, skins. They don't eat the grape skins. And they don't really eat the figs, they just suck out the juices. So that way, of course, it's going to eat a lot more, right? Because it's going to take a lot more figs and grapes to fill them up. So everybody say, yes, you can eat, but don't eat like a spoiled brat. Eat like a hardy peasant, and therefore consume the whole thing lock, stock, and barrel. Okay? I also be other below be around Braklov. It said in our mission we had a discussion of doing things with your hands and not with your feet. Amar Rabbi Law. Rabbi Law said, "Ksiv it says, Kisavav Kamas Reach when you come into your friends standing grain, begomer, etc." Now that means the way he darshens it any way you're working, any way you come in, you don't have to use both your hands and feet, either or suffices. Tani, we learned. Biyadav, what are the various different things you can do with various different parts of your body? Biyadav with your hands is a word missing here. It's in the Gemara Maisers, which parallels this one. Yushami Maisers parallels this one. Biyadav, okay. You bundle with your hands. Oberavlam accommodates with your legs. You bring together, you know. Yushami Maisers says Masmich. It just, you push things together so they're into a pile. Your legs do that better sometimes than your hands. I feel thankful. What is that even on your shoulder to ain't carrying? You got to do with all four. And there's a whole bunch missing here. The Gemara Maaseh is much more expansive than the Gemara here, because that's the Iker place where it discusses all these halachos and maaseh. Here it's just brought down, you know, almost tangentially. But there it says, Korah B'Yosef says it has to be stuff you do with your hands, your feet, and your body. It says kedaish, just like the threshing of an ox. You don't have this. Madaish oitzah b'yodav ragol gufo, threshing out with his hands, his legs, and his body. I've called him a shoitzah b'yodav ragol gufo, so to the activity of a human being, which parallels that of an ox, has to be with the hands, the legs, and the body. You're going, continuing on in the Gemara, which we do have. Yotzah oitzah b'yodav abalo b'ragla. This precludes somebody who's working with his hands, but not with his feet. Baraglo with his feet, abalo b'gufo, but not with his body. Rabbi Yosef Yudom Er, daish. It just says a different thing. It says that a worker works in the daish, and then he can eat. So daish, before we drew a parallel to oxen, that says that's be legs, arms, and body. But Rabbi Yisrael draws a different parallel. He says daish ma daish miyuchad davar shegidulei karka. When the ox is threshing, he threshes things which grow in the ground, right? Yotza, as opposed to Yotza, ha'choylev, somebody who's milking a cow for somebody else. Ha'magabi, somebody's making cheese for somebody else. Machabit is some other type of cheese making. She'en gidulei karka, it's not stuff growing in the ground, rather it has to do with the milk coming out of the cow. So for this purpose, it's not considered to be gidulei karka. Ma daish b'yuchad also, daish is unique in Dov Shalom Yigmaram Malachto. It's something which is not yet miserable. It's not miserable until it's thrashed and piled, right? Yotza yayin. This precludes wine. Mishiyikbe, once it's settled and the wine has lifted up from the dregs. So then the wine, before you drink it, has to be miser. Mishiyar Luka, as long as it's already gone down into the hole, the storage hole, at the end of the grape-crushing floor. Right? It goes out the storage hole, it's separate from the dregs, but at that point you have to miser it. Also, Aboidel B'tmorim, I think this is the final stage by date. You separate them. Fiber gross, and also something which has to do with preparing figs. I'm not sure exactly what it means, but Dovar Shnigmar Malachto. It's once it's completed and it's suitable to be meiser, then the workers can't snack anymore. Okay? Ma Daish, also Daish is Shalom Bali Zikas Meiseris. It's something which has not come to pertain to meiser at all. Yotz, it certainly precludes people who work in restaurants and bakeries. Halosh, the people who need, v'amakatev, and the losh means not the need to dom, katev, set the bread, v'oif, and the bakers, shabol, zikas, meiser, already came into the area in which it's liable for a meiser. At that point, the workers working in a bakery or butcher store, whatever it is, they don't have the right to eat. Actually, butcher store, I don't know, because no meiser issue. I assume it's parallel to food preparation in the case where there is a miser issue. Once it's beyond the stage of miseris, the other workers beyond that don't have the right to eat as they're going on.
What if they know that it was miser?
What?
Why don't they know that the food was miser?
They're still not allowed to eat. They're not allowed to. They would have to stipulate, because the Kseris HaKosav is only specifically until it's time when it's miser. Okay, if he was working figs, you can't go to the next patch and eat the grapes. But if he's eating grapes, you can't go to the next patch and eat the figs. But you can, if you're working in both, you can hold back, or even if you're working grapes, you can hold back. You don't want to have the simple grapes, you want to have the Chardonnay grapes. So you want to wait until you get to the right area. That you can do. And then you can eat there. The kula, turn the page to Chav Chesed and Beis. The kula lamruel b'shas gemar malacha. Again, this is all theoretically only done at the time when things are complete, that the food is fully complete. Avo minei hoshav avedu b'aylin. But in order to keep, to so to speak, return those objects to the to the owners, in other words, to not to lose too much time. Amnei said, "Apolim ochlim." The workers may eat. The rabbis were leaning about this. The workers may eat barley chasen as they are walking, from road to road. Chazrosan minagasen, as they're coming back, even though it's after they've really finished technically from the wine press. The chamorik shetei porekas. And a donkey eats also when it's unloading after Ray's finished the load, carrying the load from place to place. I'm Rabbi Lo said, "Ksive, it says kisavov kamas reacho or kam reacho, when you come to your friend's vineyard, v'chalta anavi yushi grapes kenafshcha as your heart desires savecho." You said, obviously it's grapes, but the Lama Edchob rather teaches us how you also be the Avon Novim, if he's working grapes, so you also be saying, we should not eat figs. Halach Adat, Ocha Poki Shos. A worker can eat a squash, Afilu Bedino, or even if it's worth a dino, which means more than he's actually making for the Baal Bais. So it's counterproductive for the Baal Bais to hire the workers. Right, he's eating the profits, but aloha is aloha. Avi Kosevis also dates, Afilu Vildinor, Rav Loz Chasomer, Loyocha, but Poel Yosef Schoro, a worker should not eat more than he earns. But as much as he earns, yes. Just not more than he earns, right? Chachoyim Atir Chom say a worker can eat more than he earns. Avon Melandi saw them, but we teach a person, Shloye Ravton, he shouldn't be so famished. So ravenous. The associate of a peasant fund is going to close the door in front of him. Nobody's going to hire him to be the worker. You know, he works more. He eats more than he works. Okay? A person can stipulate for himself, Vaide Beno, and for his sons, Ubito, and his daughters, Hagdolim, were adults. Vaide Avdol, Shikos Hagdolim, for his slaves, male and female, who are adults. Vaide Ishtar, for his wife, he can stipulate for all of them. They're sharecroppers, all sharecropping together, that they will refrain from eating in order to make more money. And so they'll be compensated more monetarily in order to refrain from eating along the way. And you can keep, well, you can do it, but simply also on their behalf, Neshish Ben Das, because they have Das. Aval Enakotits, but he can't stipulate such a stipulation. Loi Dei Beno Bito Aklai, I'm assuming that they're working, not for sons and daughters who are minors, Loi Dei Ato Shilchaz Aklai, nor for him for slaves or Aklai, Neshim Ben Das, because they don't have intention to acquiesce to the arrangement, right? They're not intelligent enough to acquiesce to this arrangement. So therefore, they're not intelligent enough to be Meichel their portion for higher pay. Okay? Rabbi Lezer, Tingleshem, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yan, I said, Zosomeris, our mission teaches, Lieberman throws in the words, and I like the word, and he's probably right, because otherwise it seems to be redundant what it says here. He says that it should say the word Sov Echa, which is a quote from the Pasuk. It says, the Pasuk can eat till you're, the poor can eat till he's satiated. So from this, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yan, I say, Zosomeris, Ocha Pol Yosef Zchorov. Can eat till he's satiated means, even if it's more than his wages are worth, until he's sated, he eats to eat. This one usually means some say, but in the Mishnah, actually, in the Gemara, actually, in Maisers, it says Tani Rabbi Chiya. It seems not to be like some say. Another version where we just learned, but it seems to be a different halacha altogether. Zoso Meris, our Mishnah teaches us that Poel Ochel Poel Shal Yochel Poel Eshkol Rishon v'Eshkol Achron. Now, there are a bunch of interpretations of what this means, but I like the Kavanoki's interpretation in Maisus the best. It means that the worker can eat the first cluster even before he started picking for the Baal Bus. So you might think he's had to have picked something for the Baal Bus already, right? No, he can eat the first cluster, it can take who he is. He can go to the best cluster and say, that'll be mine, and then work for the Baal Bus afterwards. And also the Eshkol Achron, even after he's finished working for the Baal Bus, he can take the last cluster for himself. But in my sense, it says what he already put into the Baal Bais' basket, he can't change his mind and say, you know what, I'll take this one for myself instead. That far he can't take it. Okay? Well, that's go against the principle for the worker.
No,
workers of the world unite.
Bottom line for
yes. This is a communist version of the Spindel principle. Okay. So I'm going to support. If you hire workers, and this is a case a little bit more complicated, you hire workers to work with you in your vineyard, which is Neter Avai now. Neter Avai means the fourth year. And the fourth year, technically, it's forbidden unless you redeem it. So theoretically, the workers shouldn't eat. They're eating anyway, of course. They don't have such compunction. So it says, they shouldn't eat. If you didn't tell them, however, that's that Neter Avai, then he redeems and give lausa to eat. These parsu igulim, also if they had already come to chiva meiser, because he had made already date cakes out of the dates, but then the cakes broke apart. These parsu chaviyosav, also his wine had been in barrels, but then the barrels broke. So technically, arelu lo yechule should not eat because there's already liable meisers. But im lo diyon, if you didn't tell them about this, the same idea, maiser umachilon, you measure stuff and give them to eat because they're not aware to refrain from what's being presented to them as a golden opportunity. No, on the contrary, that in order to avoid livnei iver, you should really tell them not to eat. But if they're going to eat, if you haven't told them, then you prevent the avera by taking a meisers or by redeeming it independently on the side. Right. Okay, now the Gemara here... What? Right, but you want to prevent them from committing averas in that case, and as much as you can. All right, now, everybody changes the gears to the next Gemara because it's basically messed up. So I'm going to read the gears. So actually, I don't know if you can read it, but the bottom is the Gilion Ephraim. The Gilion Ephraim is on the left-hand bottom. And the second line in the Gilion Ephraim, there's one letter in block print, one word in block print, Ko, okay? So I'm going to read the gear so as he has it here. Ko shekayotzi ba, lo ba, bali zilizika, excuse me. Ko shekayotzi ba, lo ba lizika sa meiser. Anything which has not yet come to meiser, such as net the revite. Right, it's not yet liable in Meiser because it's not yet harvested. But Yisra Acher Goram Lo, but another prohibition devolves upon it because the fourth year of the vineyard has its own unique prohibition. And he explains, parentheses, Kagon Shu Ravai, such as it's the fourth year, or Shuk Far Bachavis, or that it was already in the barrel, it's suitable for Meiser, but a Poel Lo Yodam, he said, but the worker had no way of knowing this. Schoro Stam. If you hired the guy generically without informing him that he's not allowed to eat, pay that, then you must redeem umachil and allow him to eat on the side. Maaser, you must take off maaser, umachil and allow him to eat. Katsati Moshe lo yochal, if however you stipulated that he shouldn't eat, hareze ein oichal. Then he shouldn't eat, and you don't have to maaser or don't have to redeem it. He should not have eaten. On the other hand, anything which already come to the state where it should be miser, and therefore the worker should know better than to eat it. But there's some reason why it's not liable in miser yet. And he says here, Kagon Shababai's Choshev to eight of Liktos, his figs are already ready. But he decided he's going to go and dry these figs. So normally things would be liable ma'aser when they're harvested and piled up. But if you decide you're going to dry them, they're not chayav come chayav and ma'aser until after you actually dry them. But the worker doesn't know that. The worker doesn't know the thoughts of the Baal Bos, so the worker should not be eating them, right? Because he doesn't not aware of that. Schorostam eino ochel. The worker who's hired should not eat, and he should not assume that he's allowed to eat. Katzat shiyochav, only if he stipulated, the worker stipulated, is going to eat. And it's a different question, is who's initiating the ketitza in each case. But the worker stipulated to eat, ha-reiz oichel, then you inform him, you're allowed to inform him that indeed this stuff, although it appears to be liable to be ma'aser yet, it's not really liable to be ma'aser yet, and since the worker wants specifically food to eat, then you show him to eat this. Okay? At all. But it's holy. It must be redeemed before you eat it. 5th year is not a problem. It's only the 4th year. Okay? Now you understand? Okay. Allah above, it's like the 4th year, it's like Miser Shane, it's gotta be redeemed before you eat it. Take the money to Shalim. Take the money to Shalim. Not necessarily before you take it off the tree, but here for the workers' benefit, you want to do it before it comes off the tree because he's eating off the vine. How long about Shomrei Peiros, people who watch the fruits, Oichli Milchus Medina, they eat Midrabanan from the customs of the country. Havalomina Torah, but not the Raisa. Arba Shomrei May, there are 4 types of. I'm not sure why this appears here again, not back in Parakamafki, but there are 4 types of watchmen. Shomer Chinam, watchmen for free. Vanos Yisachar, watchmen who get paid. That's good. Hashoyel, a borrower. Vanos Yisachar, watchmen who get paid. Vasoyach, and a renter, right? Shomer Chinam, Nishba Lako, he takes an oath on everything. Meaning, whatever goes wrong, takes an oath, it's not his fault, and he gets off the hook. Bashoel, a borrower, but Mishaim is called, he pays on everything, he can't get off the hook for anything, though we'll see an exception momentarily. Benose Sachar, a paid watchman, Basoch and a renter, Nishboib, they take an oath and get off the hook, Ala Shvura, an animal which was broken, Ala Shvuya, and was taken captivity, Vameso, and died. Mishamim, they pay as Saveda, an animal which got lost, was the name of an animal which got stolen. Ravuna Amar, Mishamim, Peros, he must nisin. Very interesting. When it says, Armor is talking about the people who watch the fruit as it is arranged, severed from the ground. They eat only because of custom. Avo, Mishamim, Ginos, by this, the people who watch gardens and orchards, Oichle Minatora, they eat Midoraisa. Because they're working with stuff which is still connected to the ground, right?
They're not working, they're just watching.
Shmuel Amar, B'shomei Ganos Pardesim Asnisa, talking about, indeed, the workers who are the watchmen who watch that's connected to the ground, that they eat only be Rabbon, even they. Have a B'shomei Pardesim, but those who watch just the fruit, ain't Oichlin, they don't eat at all. Lo mi na Torah, v'lo mi ilchus medina, not mi deraisa, nor mi derah, nor because of minik. So Tyre Rav Chiyah Messiah Rav Huna, Rav Chiyah learned the braisa which assists Rav Huna. It's a fascinating braisa which addresses your question. It says, anybody's involved Pora Duma, the Kohan from the Kohen end, right, is Tamei until nightfall. So it says there, Tamei Kohen Adarev, I guess it's the next one, L'rabu says Hashemri, even people who watch the Pora Aduma waters, they don't actually do an activity. Sheyuma Tami, because of their garments come Tami as well. So we see Midoraisa, Shmira is considered to be like a mice from Pora Aduma. The fact that the guy who watches the Pora Aduma waters comes Tami means watching is like a deed. So to hear Rav Huna says, watching the land is like doing the deed on the land. So that goes specifically to address your question.
So how did Rav Huna learn that it's Midoraisa?
The logic. Oh yeah, the logic of Pora Aduma. So fascinating. So classic Yerushalmi parallel. Yeah, okay, so classic Yerushalmi. Okay, hyperlink. Right. Zayv Echon. Okay, now we're going to talk about what's considered to be onus and not onus in terms of the liability of a shomer. What's considered to be beyond the shomer's capacity to respond and what's not. Zev echad, one wolf coming against a herd, ain't onus. It's not onus. It should have fended off the wolf. Shnei zev, two wolves, onus. That's already an onus. The shomer not offended off. Remember, b'shas b'shlal zev. It's the time when there's a plague of wolves. Av zev echad onus. Even one wolf is going to be onus. Shnei klavim, two dogs, ain't an onus. Is not an onus. Even two dogs you should fend off. It's the dogs, not wolves. Yodua Bavli, some sage, some sad Mishur Meir, Sanair Amir, Miruach Echaz the beds. If the dogs both come from the same direction, ain't onus, then it's not considered to be beyond your capacity. Mishtei Ruchos, they come from two different directions. Onus, it's beyond your capacity. Halistim, if armed bandits come, Are and Onus, they are considered to be an accident beyond your capacity. Hari, a lion, Vadovan, a bear, Hanomera, a leopard, a bartless, a hyena, Vanochosh, a snake, Harel, Anosim. There's nothing you can do about that. Amosai, when is this true? Ever is Manjabon Malayim when these wild animals came on their own? Avli Mokin, but if the Shomer was stupid enough to go to Lamakum Kedudei Chai, at least the places where there are packs of wild animals and bandits, and Elon Hossim, these are not acts of God, these are his own negligence. Mesa Kadaka, if the animal dies on its own course, a raise the onus, its onus, and everybody is exempt except for Shoshola, the borrower is liable. Sakwa, if you afflicted the animal with Mesa and then it died, ain't onus, that's an onus, and you are liable. Olas Rosh, it took him if the animal went up to the top of the cliffs, been off when it fell, a raise onus, it's not your fault. Hello, the Russia took it, but if you took it to the tops of cliffs and off land and fell, ain't onus, it's not onus, and is your fault. Master Shomachinim Leos Potter Mishvah. A Shomachinim could stipulate that he's a super Shomachinim, and he's exempt even from taking oaths. But a Shoah and a borrower could make a condition Leos Potter Mishvah that he's a borrower in a tremendous position that he doesn't pay even for our problems. And those say Sochar and a paid watchman by Sochar and a renter could stipulate Leos Potter Mishvua to be exempt also from Osim Mishayim and from paying. So basically, you could tailor make your Shmira even to your benefit. You don't have to necessarily fall into one of the four categories of Torah precisely. However, Chol Master Machkoz of Torah, if the Tanai goes explicitly against the Torah itself, Tanai El Poto. So that's not really relevant to our Mishnah because the Shomim are just changing the nature of the Shmira. They're not going against the Shmira. But if a person said that, there's no such thing as Shomer Chinam in the Torah or something like that, then it wouldn't work. Magmar's going to give better examples. V'chol tonight, Shumaisa B'tchiloso, anytime you, when you say verbally the condition over again, then a condition over, you first stipulate the effect and then the condition. To know about so that Tanai is null and void. Because Alochan verbalized a condition that he first had to say the if, the condition, and then afterwards the then, the effect, in order the condition to take effect. If you say first the effect and then the condition, the effect takes effect and the condition is null and void. Okay? It's all Rabbi Meir who holds this way. Yeah, and Kedushin, several places. Anything, however, which generally speaking, anything which could be, which is a valid tonight, which can be sustained again, because initially you stipulated to know kind of the tonight is valid. Tani, we learn call Master Machkoz about Torah. Anybody makes a condition on that which sustained the Torah tonight, Momon. If it's a condition that has to do with the monetary matters, to know kind of it's contract law, your condition can be valid. But if it's not a matter which has to do with monetary matters, it's not contract law, to know about it, tonight is null and void. Ketzan, it's an example. Primarily, you should say to a woman, Haram, you're married to me, I'm announced on the condition, She'ain Lachalai, you don't have claims against me for She'er, Ksus, owner, for food, clothing and marital relations, harezim kedushas, that's vow kedushin, and a vow tnai, because those are all considered to be monetary. Even the bia, something which she can be meichel, right? It's an obligation towards her. She can forgive that obligation. So that's how it's saying mashkos of the Torah. However, if he makes a condition, she may see lotes kukli vom yom, if I die, you shall not be liable to yibum. Harezim kudeshes, then the kedusha is valid, but to no avotel, the tenai is null and void. Right? Because that's matzah, because I thought you want to change the nature of marriage, and so you can't do that. Now, the Rosh Hashanah points out, he says, you can't do that, but what you can do is say that if you fall before a recalcitrant yavam, then let the marriage itself be null and void retroactively. That works, because that way you didn't try to change the nature of marriage. You just stated that if marriage leads to a bad result, let the marriage itself be nullified. So mashkos b'Torah is when you try and change the state of affairs that the Torah dictated. And by mominus, you could do that. But you can't do that by something which is not mominus. Okay? Rackworthy won't help. Monetary law. Contract law. Zach Lasher, Rabbi Yudim and Temo, as the general principle of Rabbi Yudim and Temo said, also in having our Mishnah. Called over, it should be She'evshar. Leaves Gaim, anything with the condition which you made, which is impossible, like may you walk in a condition that you walk to the moon, right? Yidnoima, and you made such a condition with a woman, let's say, and her get, Leaves Gaim El Afliga, it's only meant to torture her. And therefore, you just ignore the condition. Venture Mechsai, venture of a pair, whether you said this verbally or in writing. Come Iskayim, but Pem Iskayim, Mechsai, anything which works by verbally works by in writing and vice versa. Okay? Of a Kfar Usi, this lastly is really not to the Bombatia, really is a good issue. The Kfar Usi, Begoli, if somebody made a condition that's going to, on the condition that I go to Goliath. A condition that I come back from Goliath. So Kfar Usni is considered to be Goliath. And he made a condition something to do with Gel Yehuda. Antipatris is considered to be Yehuda. Esher Ben Asayim, the area between Kfar Usni and Antipatris, Shemitila Sol Chumra, we say whatever is more Chumra, we say about. We're not sure if that's considered Goliath or Yehuda. So if it's more of a Chumra to say it's from Goliath, then we say it's from Goliath. If it's more of a Chumra to say it's from Yehuda, we say it's really depending on what this Tanai was. Again, tonight, let's say, to get to Goliel or to get to Yehuda. So depending, whatever's a Chumrah, we're going to give the area in between that Chumrah. Okay? Yeah. Now, Lochav. Hajjol says, Paul. Lochav. Hajjol says, you borrow a... Now, this is an interesting halacha. You borrow a cow. You borrow... it's not really rent a cow. It's hurts borrow a cow, right? You either hired or borrowed the owner to work with his cow. The cow came along with the cow, then you don't have to pay. Okay?
You shouldn't have been smart enough to realize
that you're doing something. Right, shouldn't have come, right. So, Shaw's a part, you borrowed a cow. The Shaw Baleimon, you borrowed the owner together with the cow. Or Shaw's bar, you buy the cow. The Sachar Baleim, when you hired the owner to work with the cow. Shaw's Baleim, if you hired the owner, hired him. Chayav Shaw's bar, then you buy the cow, Umesa, and then the cow died, butter. Even though you're a borrower, you're exemption. Remember, it says, in Ba'lavi Mo, it says if the owner is with the cow, lo yishalem, then you don't pay. Avol shows a part, but if first you borrow the cow, Va'achakel shows a part, and then afterwards you borrow the owner of the cow, Osarchan rohayed him with Mesa, and then the cow died, Chayiv Yolaiwo. Shemar says, Ba'lav Eni Mo, if its owner was not with it, Shalem Yishalem, you pay. Now, the Gemara is going to explain that a little bit better than the Mishnah itself. Amrei, the problem is the Gemara here itself is subject to change of gear, so, but not big, just major. Amrei, he said, Mimashu Shneamar, since it says, now you have to change here, the drushers. You can change, you have to put in the next drusher over here and this drusher downstairs. So let's skip down to three lines to the bottom, okay? See Mimashu Shneamar, three lines to the bottom of the page?
Yeah.
Did you see that? It's Amrit. It's law, which is actually law. But let's from the next word. Masha Mashita says, "In balavimo lo yishalem." Says if the owner's with it, you don't pay. Ain't you there? She ain't balavimo. Can't I infer that if the owner's not with it, that shalem yishalem, you have to pay? In other words, I'm not stupid. I know what the converse of that is. So matam lor balavimo lo yishalem. So why is the pasuk that tells explicitly that the owner's with it, you don't pay? So now go back. So the second line after the beginning of the Gemara, Elami Kavan, towards the end of the line, rather, comes to teach us, Mikavan Shishol, should we Shishol HaPorah, if you borrowed the cow prior, Velo Shalal Ba'ala Ima, and you didn't yet borrow the master, the owner, even though you borrowed him later on, or even though the owner is plowing right next to it, but he's not yet hired out by you, right? He wasn't formally hired out by you. Well, mace in that case, if the animal dies, chayev, you are liable. So what it means, by love him, only means, because of the stress, that only if the owner has been hired with the cow, or is borrowed with the cow, but not his presence, his mere presence alone, does not get the borrower off the hook. Okay, now let's take the flick of Avo Shal as a part of Chakal Shal Ba'ala. But if you borrow the cow and afterwards borrowed the owner of the cow, was Sochan or hired them, Umesa, and then the animal died Chayev, again, it's even if the owner is working right next to it at the time that the cow drops dead. Now, Amar Abilah again, we matchish Nemet since it says, and now we go back and paste in from the beginning of the Gemara. Just that we have to add on two words. From the beginning of the Gemara, after Imasha Shinamar, it should say, Ba'alav Imo, it says, if its master's with it, Shalem is Shalem. Then, oh, wait a minute. It should say, Ba'alav Imo, Lo Yishalem. Sorry, Lo Yishalem. Ba'alav Imo, Lo Yishalem. So it says, it should. Yeah, because we're bringing up the bottom part from below, okay? In Balavimo, Lo Yishalem. No, again, I. One second. I'm sorry, I'm getting confused myself. We're taking the top part and bringing it down, right? It should say Balavimo. What should it say? Should say Balavimo. It should say Ein Balavimo. That's what it should say. Ein Balavimo. The words are missing in our Gemara. It should say Ein Balavimo Shalem Yishalem. If the owner's not working with it, then you pay. So since it says that since it says if the owner's not with it, you pay. So don't we know in Yodim in Balavivo that the owner is with it, Lo Yishalem, that you don't pay? Again, why do I need the converse? Matam Lomer Balavi Ani Mo Shalem Shalem. Why does it have to tell us that if the worker, if the owner is not with it, Shalem is Shalem? In other words, yeah, this whole thing is, this whole part is taka messed up. This should be, it should be, in other words, I'm reading now from the line right above the Mishnah, right after the Mishnah, and I cut and paste it at the bottom. And it should be, say in that line, it should say, Ein ba'alav imo shalem shalem. Any of them ba'alav imo lo yishalem. So then I know if it's matam lomer ba'alav. So why does it have to tell us by love imo lo yishalem? Yeah, I think I understand, but I'm not sure I can get you to understand without making a chart. It's one is a converse, and one, it's a puzzle. It says basically what we're trying to say is that
you don't need both.
A lot.
Right. Because you can learn one thing from the other.
That's right. Basically, what is like this? But Torah is redundant, right? It says, if the owner's with it, you don't pay. If the owner's not with it, you do pay. So either one sentence is not necessary. So in the beginning, the Gemara focuses on that which it says, if the owner is with it, is not with it, you don't pay. Which is not, the Gemara is saying that that's superfluous. So what's it going to tell us? That additional line that the owner's not with it, then you pay. It's going to tell us that even if the owner is actually physically with it, but was not yet hired out or borrowed at the time you borrowed the cow, then you still have to pay no matter what. That's the focus of the beginning part of the Gemara. And the focus of the end part of the Gemara is the opposite. It's going to talk about why, if it says, well, if the owner's not with it, then you do have to pay. Why does it have to say, if the owner's with it, you don't have to pay? Isn't it obvious? And that's going to tell us from this perspective, and let's read it inside what it comes to tell us, second line from the bottom. Once you hired the cow plus the owner, this is critical, even though the owner is elsewhere, umesa potter. In other words, in that case, everything goes by the borrowing, not by the actual physical presence of the owner. So each part of the pasuk teaches us something else. One teaches us that even if he's present, if he wasn't hired or borrowed at the same time, then you, the borrower, are liable. The other teaches us that even if he's not present, if he was borrowed or hired at the same time as cow, then you, the borrower, are off the hook. And some of the Gemara's be read in order to tell us that. Okay. Harolabes. Hashol Zapara. Somebody borrows a cow. Vesholo Chatziyoy. That's a cool case. You borrowed it half a day. Vesochel Chatziyoy. And he rented half a day. In other words, Hertz gave you a free day. Right? So the free day came first. But that free day is a catch. That free day, what are you? A borrower. A borrower. So you're more liable for the free day, okay? Shalom chatziyom, or half a day, v'shalom chatziyom. Shalom, or you borrowed half a day, one day, v'shalom mochar, and the next day, you rented it out. Shalom achas, v'shalom achas, or you borrowed one, and hired out another one, two cows. Hamashulaymer, the lender says, Mr. Hurt says, Shulamesa, the borrowed cow died. B'yom Shaisa Shulam Mesa, on the day it was borrowed, it died. B'shah Shaisa Shul, at the hour when it was borrowed, Mesa died. Because then you have to pay him. V'alomer, you, the customer, say, any other day, I don't know which one or when it died. Chayiv, you must pay. Spori V'shema, he's clear, you're not. Asocher, omer, what if it's vice versa? The borrower, the renter says, Schura, when it was rented, Mesa died. Or the cow which was rented died. B'yom Shai Schura, Mesa, the day was rented, it died. B'shah Shai Schura, the time was rented, Mesa died. Falomer, and Mr. Hertz says, any other day, I don't know. Potter, you're off the hook because you don't know for sure. And he says, I don't know. Zomer Shula, Zomer Schura. If one says definitely that it was a borrowed one, and he says definitely that it was a rented one. The renter takes an oath that the one which was rented died, and he gets off the hook. If each one says, I don't know, yachloku, they split the difference because they don't know. Now, that's all cool, but this Yushami is much cooler. Classic Yushami question. Yushami asks, not in the Bible, of course, Laila Shminasayimau, what about the night between the 2 days? What's its status during that night? Is it? The first day it's borrowed. Second day it's rented. What's its status in between?
It's not working.
It's not working at night. Right. And it drops dead in the middle of the night. Okay? It drops dead from lack of work. Could be. But Ismarin, some say that Derech HaPoros L'Luna Balein, normally, even when you're borrowing a cow, you give it back to the owner at night. You don't keep it in your stable because it's not comfortable there. The zoo, why did you leave it in your stable overnight? Aydesha Schura adds lo lana, because it was rent or hired out by you, you didn't bring it back, so in order that the next day you should be able to work with it early. So therefore, Aydesha Schura, so since the next day, I'm sorry, you had rented it out, and you want to get the most for your money, lo lana, you didn't send it back home that night. So therefore, kishula he adds lo vuchayim. You're liable for that, and because that you continue to borrow it in order to allow yourself the early rental use the next morning, so it's part of the borrowing and you are liable.
You're anticipating the renting part.
Right. We are borrowing, continuing to borrow in order to anticipate the rental. These minds, some say no. Ain't that parceluna baleim? That you don't, and it's a question by Matthias, you would actually return them at 99, at night or not. So he said, no, normally when cows are out for a long period of time, they don't go back to their owner's stable at night, and therefore, bazooka skura etzlo, and that's why we consider this animal during the nighttime as part of the rental, right? Because you're really, just don't want to go to the hassle of returning it, but it's already part of the next day's rental, and therefore you're exempt. Of course, we don't know which is actually true, and therefore it's tantamount to a teiku. All right, do you want to do that? You want to stop here, or want to do one more? One more? Okay, halacha gimel. The next one's not, though. Halacha gimel. The next one, the gears is all messed up. Hashos apar v'shichulu lo b'yad b'no. Now, the question is, but now it's similar questions. When the period begins, the borrowing period. Hashal is probably borrowing a cow, v'shulchalo, and the balabas sent it, biyad b'no, via his own son, biyad avdo, by his slave, biyad shulcho, by his emissary, or even biyad b'no in the hands of the son, or biyad avdo, or the slave, or biyad shulcho, or the emissary, shoshoa of the borrower. But the borrower had not said, send it in their hands. Umeisan, it dies at that stage, parts of the exempt because the borrower is not ensued yet. Amala show, but if the show said explicitly, Shukhali, send it to me, Biabri in the hands of my son, Biabri in the hands of my slave, Biabri in the hands of my agents, or even Biabri in the hands of your son, Biabri in the hands of your slave, Biabri in the hands of your agent, or Amala Mashil, or the lender said, I'm going to send it to you, biyad bini, in the hands of my son, biyad av, the hands of my slave, biyad shul, the hands of my agent, or biyad bicho, in the hands of your son, or biyad avdicho, in the hands of your slave, biyad shul, in the hands of your agent. And the shul confirmed his acquiescence to that arrangement. V'shulcha, and he sent it, umeso, and the dialogue, the way chayav. Liable. So anytime the show assumes responsibility verbally, so he's liable from that point on, even though he hasn't actually received the animal physically. The chemer shosh malzir, and so too on the way back as well. Same idea. Okay? Until it's the shaylo is not terminated until the lender verbally accepts responsibility or sends his own agent out in order to accept responsibility. Okay? I assume that would count. Yeah, that's not that. I assume Laura assumes that that's obvious. Tani, Hashlei Poros Chasor Yomim. This actually goes back to the previous issue of working together with your cow, renting out, hiring, loaning your cow, and working together with it. Right? Baalbai, the Baal Poros comes to work together with the cow. Hashlei Poros Chasor Yomim. I want to borrow your cow for 10 days. And I want you to work with me for 5 of those days. But he doesn't say which 5 of those days. Take other words, we're showing this, Goryal takes it out. Mesa. And the cow dies. And again, the Goryal takes out Mitoch Achronim. We don't know when the 5 days began. If the 5 days begin concurrently with the 10 days, then the borrower is exempt. If the 5 days begin later on, then the borrower is liable. But he didn't specify. So, of course, it's up in the air, right? So it's a mishibud rishonim, or it says in the Eskorial, mishibud achronim meso. We don't know how to reckon it. Is the part, is it begin, does those 5 days of the 10 begin originally, at the, so to speak, it's initial shibud from the beginning, or does it begin later on, so to speak, the shibud at the end? Since we do not know, we don't know how to paskin in this case. Right, it actually does sound bad. But there's no way to be even borrow it. There's no way, because he never started work, and we don't know ever when he did the work, even if he starts to work later on, 5 days later, right? But maybe, since he could have started the work at the beginning, so maybe that's considered to be concurrent borrowing the cow and borrowing the owner. We don't know. The Gemara asks a couple of similar scenarios. You know the Gemara is not going to give an answer for what the halacha is. But first, there's something missing here. The one scenario, which is in the Eskorial, which is not in the Baal, with the Yerushalmi here, which is important. Hashem Paro, I'll read it to you outside. Hashem Paro, Chasar Yomim, loan me your cow for 10 days. Yishalim Ben Yishalim, he said explicitly, I want you for the first five. And it died in the last five. Okay? So what do we say in that case? We say, Mishibud Arishoyne Mesa, Mishibud Achroyne Mesa. Because here, this is taking even a step further, saying maybe even if he specified it's the first 5 days. And the animal that you're going to work with, the animal. And the animal died during the last 5 days, since the initial borrowing was concurrent, the fact that later on the owner dropped out is still considered to be she'el of a bailin. Right? In other words, it's true that in the 5 days which the cow died, he no longer was working with him. But since for the first 5 days which began the term of borrowing the cow, the owner of the cow is working with you, maybe that's enough to get the borrower off the hook. You don't like that? But that is a question Yerushalmi does ask. All right? Sorry.
It's not there anymore. The 5 days are over.
But maybe it's all one long thing. Look, what can I tell you? I can't make you like it, but that's what the Gemara Yerushalmi asked. Now, Hashem Paraschal Achara Asura Yomim. Now, in this case, we're going to work like even less. Lend me your cow after 10 days, but you work with me during those 10 days. Okay, it doesn't say that second clause, but that's obviously what we're talking about. So, the cow, it's true, the cow only, the period, the rental period, borrowing period of the cow only begins after 10 days over. And he's working, the owner's working within the 10 days. But maybe since verbally the thing was agreed on simultaneously, again, you're for sure not going to like this, but the Gemara's side is maybe since the verbally the agreement on both the cow and the worker was simultaneous, perhaps that's enough to get the borrower off the hook. Amarle said, responded, Saba min kvar, take the answer to that from ever I answer your previous question, which of course is not going to answer. But it's a similar idea to where during the score to the case which the Eskorial brings down, which Yerushalmi doesn't bring down here, which is that he worked for the first 5 days and the cow died during the last 5 days. Okay? Now the Mesa Mishibud Mishibud, and the question, same question, Moshe is finishing. Mesa Mishibud should be Mesa Mishibud Harishoni Mesa Mishibud Achoni Mesa. There are a few words missing here. Again, we don't know if it's considered to be concurrent or consecutive. If it's concurrent, even though the times are different, nevertheless, it began at the same time. Therefore, there is no liability, or it's going to be consecutive, and therefore there is no liability. Now, interesting case. Hashileni Paroscha. These are interesting variations, which are in the Bible, I think, as well. Hashem Paroscha, loan me your cow. Vanini Shaloch. I, the borrower, am going to work for you. Hashileni Paroscha. Ubo Vaseimi. Or lend me your cow. And come work for me today. Hashem Kardoimcha. Lend me your axe, Ubovan Akeshmi, and come and hoe with me. It's not actually an axe, it's some sort of hoeing implement. It's an axe. And come hoe with me, even though they're two separate types of work. They're not the same. You're borrowing an axe and he's hoeing with you. Hashe Tamchuyach, loan me your cooking utensils. Come and eat with me. It's not even working. Just come and eat with me. All these things, or you borrow mina bayar, not from the owner himself, but rather from his ditch digger. Says kayar, which should be the bayar, ditch digger. Minasanter, or from his trustee, person who's in charge of his household. Or minakimus, or from a clerk. Umesa, and the animal dies, Kamisha Bahim Yimel, it's all considered to be as if the owner's with it. But these are all extensions of the principle of Shelo Babaylim. Now, one important point is that the Oriyosh says the Bavli argues. The Bavli says, if you borrow from the clerk, and the Rambam argues, the Rambam at the Bavli, if you borrow from the clerk or from the worker in the household without the owner's express permission, that might be a legal transaction, but it's not called Shelo Babaylim. Another time, Shelo Babaylim is if you got express permission from the owner to go to his worker and borrow from him. And borrow, of course, together with the worker, with the agent. In other words, it means that the employee went and worked with you. So according to Yushalmi, the employee came and worked for you. That's also Shelo Babaylim, even though you didn't get permission or to make a deal with the employer. According to Bavli, only if you contracted with the employer, then even if he himself didn't come to work, he'd send his employee, that's also Shelo Babaylim, but the initial contract must be with the employer. Okay? Okay, we'll stop here for this evening.